help, and our only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 18, the stanzas 2 and 6. Psalm 18, the stanzas 2 and 6. the scripture reading this in this morning hour can be found in God's holy and infallible word in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, the second chapter. But first we have to read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against the neighbor, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the scripture reading in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, the whole chapter. And then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. And yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have fought. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land so far. Let us pray. O Lord, that we may be filled with reverence as we approach thee in prayer. And let it be no evil in thy eyes when we ask for a blessing for all of the attendants, but also for those who are not able to come to thy house because of illness of whatever reason it is. O Lord, we thank thee for gathering us together around thy holy word, and let it be a power to our salvation for thy glorious name's sake. O Lord, we pray thee for those who are in need of circumstances, help them out in a way of true conversion. We pray thee for the sick and afflicted, for those who have got the message that there is no healing anymore for their bodies, but that they may flee to the throne of grace to cry to thee for saving their souls. O Lord, by nature we have no idea what kind of danger we are in, but convict us and discover us in what state we are, and that we may come to the true knowledge of sin, true knowledge, true self-knowledge, and true knowledge of God in Christ. O Lord, reveal thyself in Christ in our misery, so that we shall repent about our sinful state, and that we may come in thy communion in a way of righteousness by true faith. Lord, we pray thee for the heathen on the mission field, but in our country there are enough heathen to serve them with the gospel, with thy gospel. O Lord, thou knowest how to reach them and how to save them. And we pray thee for the Jewish people, and they are still unconverted and in bondage of the law. But thou can change in it in one moment, yea, in a twinkling of an eye. O Lord, it is all up to thee, but we have no rights and no worthiness to hear us, but hear us because of thy begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He has reconciled thee and give us an application of reconciliation in Christ, we pray thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, before explaining our text in dependence of the Lord, first we will sing Psalter 220, stanzas 1, 2, 3. Psalter 220, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Beloved, in this morning hour, we will continue to think about the prayer of Jonah in the belly of the fish. And we know, according to verse 2 of chapter 2 of the book of Jonah, that Jonah had cried to God in the belly of the fish, and also that the Lord had heard his voice, his supplications and his lamentations. And Jonah was fled from the presence of the Lord, but now he was a prisoner in the belly of the fish. And if God's people spiritually are in prison, then they learn how to pray. Because in prison there is nothing left than a healthy serving sinner. Do you know it? And then praying becomes crying, because of the terrible need of a lost soul. And Jonah was a kind of prodigal son in the belly of the fish. But the Lord has an eye on him, and he heard the heart cry of his dear child in his terrible situation. Oh, that eternal wonder, beloved, that the Lord hear the heart cry of his people and give an answer to the crying soul. And that is because of the forepraying of Christ, by which he sanctified the prayers of his people. And if our praying always goes unanswered, we have never yet really cried to God. Remember that. But God made Jonah cry, and he heard. And on the ship, Jonah could not without God. No problem at all. But the Lord could not do without Jonah, beloved. So he held Jonah under water until he cried unto God again. Now Jonah could not do without God either, because he loved him, and love makes one cry. The law does not. The law only oppresses. The law is only satisfied with perfect obedience. So the law doesn't listen to the crying of a lost sinner. The law says, sinner, I have nothing to do with you, for you deserve death, eternal death, spiritual death. I cannot let you live. I must kill you. I shall drown you. Yeah, that is the law saying. But Christ suffered himself to be drowned in the waves of the wrath of God, and he was in the grave, in the sepulchre for the earth for 3 days and three nights. Why? To still the wrath of God at sin. And beloved, when Jonah went overboard, Christ said to the law, as it were, law, you cannot bring in anything against Jonah, for I was drowned in Jonah's place by the virtue of my merited righteousness, and I provide a fish to save Jonah, for he lives at the expense of my finished work, both in life and in death. And during his life on the earth, Christ perfectly fulfilled the law. And he said, it is written in its roll, thy will is my delight, and I cherish day and night the law in heart and soul. And before commending his spirit into the hands of his father, he paid the uttermost farthing with the words, it is finished. And then the hell trembled on its foundations, and the law kept silence within me, and I had no more accusers. And this is a great secret, friends, for we do not experience law and gospel as matters which are mingled, but they are completely distinct. The law is not mingled with the gospel, but the law precedes the gospel. And this is a secret, the secret of salvation. And do you know what Luther said? If you know the distinction between law and gospel, you can have my doctor's degree.
Yeah.
There are there are always people who know beforehand already that they will be or are saved. But God does not deliver his people before judgment, but through judgment. And now love begins to cry, as I have already said. But before judgment, love begins to cry. It says, I found trouble and sorrow. And the law can only oppress, but love produces sorrow. And that is because of the drawing love of the Father, of God the Father. Lord, the thief on the cross said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what precedes this? This. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And beloved, do you know when God will justify you? When you will justify God in all his will and way. And that is what the murderers, publicans, whores and the ungodly do, for that is what man is. And however, there are only few who believe this. And if you have never yet admitted to God what you are, you will never be saved. It's not a condition. No. No. But the work of the Holy Spirit. And we see also, and also we see it in with Jonah in the position of life. He says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Verse 6. And here Jonah confirms his own sentence, not under duress, but willingly. And after all, it was an established fact. And here Jonah says, that is to say, in his own perception, for instance, he experienced eternity without God. He says, the earth with her bars was about me forever. So Jonah had reached a point where he was forever barred from ever having communion with God. In a twinkling of an eye, he experienced that relief was absolutely impossible if the Lord had not delivered him in a wonderful way. And not until after you have faced this do you talk about it. But do you know what the miracle was with Jonah? Jonah did not say, I have gone down. No, but he says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. Jonah speaks here in the past tense. For though it is in the present, and you do not talk about it when you are strangled by the law. But with Jonah, Christ had become his head. And Jonah experienced what Isaiah 54 verse 8 says. I can read it for you. In a little rod I hid my face from thee for a moment, the Lord says. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer. And somebody says, but Jonah was still in the fish, wasn't he? Yes, he was. He was. But faith speaks of things as it as if there are there. Sorry about that. God had heard his supplication by faith, and he already testified to his deliverance. And therefore the fish did not cause him in an anxiety anymore. And there is a people on earth who at times live in liberty even though they are in prison. And I once heard about a man who, because of his faith, had been tied to a pole for 3 days and three nights. And people thought he would be glad when he regained his freedom. But he said, for 3 days and three nights I have walked in the liberty of Christ with all the children of God, and I shall miss this spot very much. Now Jonah was a prisoner, and John, the apostle John, was a prisoner at the island Patmos, but he was allowed to walk in the glorious liberty of Christ. Yeah, that can be. In many circles it is claimed this is not experienced anymore. And the same they say of pardoning of sins, forgiving of sins. And I recently heard a sermon read in which it was claimed that before taking up the child Jesus in his arms, the old exercises prophet Simeon still went through the world without his sins being forgiven. Now this is a major foolishness. And this is holding down the word of God in unrighteousness. People no longer want to believe God is a God who forgives sins. And I do not know any sin but the sin against the Holy Ghost, which is worse than the sin of preaching a life of grace without forgiveness of sin. And when this is done deliberately, I will eventually become the sin against the Holy Ghost. It will become the sin against the Holy Ghost. And there are preachers who preach a life of faith without experience of the forgiveness of sins. And this is an awful doctrine. It is purely Roman Catholic. And how many Orthodox churches have turned Roman Catholic because of this heresy nowadays? It is a miracle if it is different. And when you speak about Christ, you are suspect nowadays. When you testify of Christ and speak about the work of God, people will shun you. For this is suspicious in our days. Yeah, but the religious establishment also shunned Christ. Yeah, for the servant is not greater than his Lord. And my flesh is not interested in it, but God is. And if the Lord visits me, I also become interested in it. And I am fully aware the gospel of free grace is grossly abused by the hallelujah Christianity. But woe on us when we throw suspicion on the true work of grace, as if God does not work this anymore. And I like separating preaching between false and true, but one which portrays Christ in all his offices. And then the preaching is also Trinitarian, and the triune God is proclaimed in all his perfections and operations and attributes. And according to me, the devil feels very much at home in churches where Christ is omitted from the preaching. Christ is omitted when a Christ is preached without the forgiveness of sin. Yeah. And Christ is also omitted when a gospel is preached without the ministry of the law which preceded the gospel. And this is not a condition, but purely scriptural, experimental. And if you and I know about this, it must be possible to ask in love how you have come by it. And did you steal it? Or did you receive it honestly? Be honest. This is a fundamental difference. And this distinction also arises in a preaching in which the whole counsel of God is preached. And what in fact is the whole counsel of God? That is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It is calling justification, sanctification and glorification. It is election, Christmas, Easter, Ascension Day, Pentecost, and the restoration of all things. For then God shall be all in all. Look, the devil does not object at all against preaching justification if only you omit sanctification. And in reverse, you may spend much time on sanctification as long as you do not talk about justification. Yeah, you may speak about Christ, but only if it is about the Christ without blood. You may speak about God, but only if it is a God without election. Yeah. You may speak about the Holy Spirit, provided it is not about indwelling spirit. Yeah. And this kind of preaching is nothing but foolishness. So Jonah was still in the fish. But he rejoices in free grace. For he says, yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. It says brought up. And beloved, Christ descended into hell and he brought up his people from the hell of their ruin. And hence that in the midst of his plight, Jonah was already able to rejoice in God. And only faith can do this. For faith looks to God, and in God there is no doubt. Faith calls for things as if they are already there. And this is true of the slightest particle of faith. And the little ones are also included. The little ones of faith are also included. When you are weak in faith, you are also included. And then I do not refer to the little ones as are spoken about nowadays. In certain circles it is contended that the little ones are still unconscious of their faith. And this is another new type of religion. These people are always talking about an unconscious faith and an unconscious justification and an unconscious Christ. Imagine they become conscious of it. Yeah. Now these people do not want to have anything to do with this, although they do not say that out loud, you know. For it becomes conscious, they feel lost. And their unconscious religion had fully included them. And do you see, beloved, how deceitful it is? Oh, do not eternally be deceived, beloved. Do not rest before you are consciously hidden in Christ by faith, to be justified and sanctified in and through Him, through Jesus Christ. At any rate, Jonah could not live from all these, from all these unconscious things, for he was in the midst of the reality. Yeah. It was not an imagination or something. No. Jonah was in the midst of the reality. And with Job, he rejoices in free grace on the axis of his existence. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lived. And that is what all the children of God experience. And I'm not saying it is their daily experience, for the days of darkness shall be many. Oh yeah, oh yeah. But in God there is no darkness, and neither there is darkness in His Son. Christ is the light of the world, and sometimes we are unable to testify of it. And this also happens in affliction, for this glorifies God more than after having been afflicted, although the latter is exercised more often than the former. And Jonah exercised in his affliction. And then it is even more glorious when real deliverance is there. Jonah could say, I know whom I have believed. And nowadays people would rather reserve the word of God as a perhaps. But the word of God does not work a perhaps, beloved. Luke the evangelist says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. As to salvation, the Roman Catholics, the Arminians, and many Neo-Nomian preachers nowadays say, you can never be sure about it. You can never be sure about salvation. And there are even those who say, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, anything is possible. But what kind of religion is that? The Apostle Peter says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. True people of God cry out with Jonah, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And this is not done in a hidden corner, beloved. This will be the miracle, the miraculous aspect of it. And these people will know from what great need and debt God has delivered and will deliver them. And this is something that is assailed. That is another thing. And it can be assailed too much that the received grace has totally disappeared from view. Yeah, it can be. For remember, friends, the true Zionists are in their own estimation constantly on their way to hell. But nevertheless, Christ's work of salvation is not done in a corner. It is no, perhaps, but sure. Faith is always sure, a little faith too. And then there are also the trials of faith, which are more precious than all gold, money, and earthly goods. Trials of faith are precious. Yeah. And therefore, people of God, you must count on many impossibilities and many afflictions and many deaths for you to die. But when the righteous cry to the Lord in mercy, hears their pleas, and He graciously delivers them from all their miseries, and the Lord is always near. So Jonah was able to speak of deliverance while still being in the fish. And we must particularly point out to that Jonah's deliverance did not lie in his being delivered out of the fish, but that God answered him. And many people rejoice in the miracle. But Jonah didn't. He rejoiced in God. There's a great difference. The psalmist does not say, I rejoice in the miracle. No, he says, For this I know that God is at my side in him, whose word I praise, I do confide. And he heard my voice when in my fears I cried, the Lord is my defender. He rejoices in God. And during the flood in Holland in 1995, half of the Netherlands was in great distress. Do you remember? 1995. There was a flood, and there has been some talk of God's judgment. But when judgment was averted, many people said, it is a miracle that the dikes have not given way. It is a great miracle. But where was the God of the miracle? No answer. No answer. So you see that people can admire the miracle and yet be totally blind to his author. Only one of those 10 lepers came back to give glory to God. The other 9 cried out, it's a miracle, we have been cured. Oh yes, it's a great miracle, but they forgot the benefactor. And the Samaritan, the half Jew, you would say, did not. He could not live without the benefactor, for he went back and gave glory to him. And so did Jonah. He gave glory to God for everything and did not stop the miracle in the miracle itself. And this will presently confirmed when the fish vomit Jonah out upon the dry land. And Jonah does not even raise his hands because of the miracle. For his deliverance did not so much lie in his being delivered out of the fish, as in the fact that God delivered him. And when God's savingly comes into your life, beloved, the center point is not your deliverance, but the God of your deliverance. Because it says, my Savior is my God, not my deliverance. No. And do we also know about this, beloved? For God does not afflict his people because he delights in it, but that you should cry unto God for God, because of God. And in his own estimation, Jonah was so far away from God in the belly of the fish that his soul fainted within him. Yeah. He felt such great anguish, trouble and anxiety that he thought he would breathe his last. And when God's children must breathe their last, it is not bad, for then they will forever breathe in God. But when this happens in time, when they are forsaken by God in their feeling, it's an awful thing, even for God's children. And this is often the experience of those who fear God in truth. And if you have never experienced what Jonah is talking about here, it is also be feared that your religion is just imagination. And you can see this by the foolish virgins. That was imagination. Can be close. Oh yeah. But the Lord does not leave his children, his real children, in death. For it is written, when my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And I have a question. Why did Jonah remember the Lord in the belly of the fish? Because the Lord remembered Jonah. Jonah remembered God by the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit called to his remembrance. And after all, it is wicked when we do not remember God, for God is forever worthy to be remembered. But now the miracle. From everlasting, God has thoughts of peace about His church, about His children. And now we must point out to you that Jonah's remembering the Lord did not consist solely of some thoughts, for this was fruit of faith. True praying is also a fruit of faith, as Jonah indeed practiced it here, for he said, "My prayer came unto thee, unto thine holy temple." And Jonah's prayer penetrated right through the fish, right through the waters of the Mediterranean, right through the clouds, reaching into heaven. Yeah, Jonah got free access to the throne of grace. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father, Paul says in Ephesians. Because Christ bowed more deeply than Jonah, and Jonah received free grace to the Father by the Spirit. And when the Spirit of Christ is in us, we have free access to God through faith. And Jonah's prayer was born when he was heavily afflicted. And the deeper the valley of affliction, the higher the top of faith. The more the pendulum of the clock of discovery moves to the left, the more the pendulum of deliverance moves to the right. Jonah was not straightened in his bowels while still being in the belly of the fish, but this did not last long. But it also remains true, the farther on the way of life, the less knowledge of Christ in one's own estimation. The farther on the way of life, the less knowledge of Christ in one's own estimation. And the God-fearing Samuel Rutherford says, "Oh, if only I could spell his name. Oh, if only I could believe once." Yeah. Yeah, God's people become poor of spirit. Not poor of the Holy Spirit. No, no. Poor of their own spirit. But those who do not believe, do believe. And those who do not pray, do pray. It sounds paradoxical, but it is true. But he who is not a stranger to this knows it. But first let me sing. Let us sing Psalm 130, the stanzas 1 and 3. 130, the stanzas 1 and 3. Out of the depths of sadness, O Lord, I cry to thee. And verse 3, I wait for God to hide me, my soul with longing stirred. And what follows? Verse 1 and 3, Psalm 130. Sink, the higher your prayer rises. And these are not conditions, but it is God's own work. Jonah was able to testify of the work of God while still being in the fish, in the belly of the fish. But he did something else as well. He also condemned his disobedience. He had fallen on God's side. He said, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." What does that mean? In fact, he said, "This obedient prophet from Canaan observed lying vanities, and through his own fault forsook the mercy between God and his soul." Here, mercy can also be translated by peace. Jonah actually said, "By faith I had peace between God and my soul, but I have robbed myself of this peace." And when this peace with God was once more restored, Jonah could not speak about it even in the belly of the fish. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have fought. Salvation is of the Lord." Verse 9. God has no slaves, but the willing people in the day of his power. And it is true that it is a fruit of the willingness of Christ. For in his willingness does not fill the heart, God's people often go against the grain. But the Lord lets his people choose willingly on the basis of election. For their choice is a fruit of his electing love. And I'm talking about the Lord's reconciled people. Because before forgiveness of sin, our choices to death. And when God lets his reconciled people choose, they have first been placed on his side. And then Jonah once more chooses willingly for the service of the Lord, for he says, I will pay that that I have vowed. And what had Jonah promised? That he would go to Nineveh? I do not read this anywhere. God had commissioned him to go, but he had not promised to do it. What does he mean then? This severe trial reminded Jonah of his office as a prophet. And when Jonah fled away from God, he denied his office. In virtue of his office, he committed sin. He sinned against his office, just like Samson did. When he let Delilah cut off his long hair, which was a token of his separation. And then Samson became powerless, and the Philistines put out his eyes. And when Peter denied the Lord Jesus, he also sinned himself out of his office. And sins committed by people holding an office were more severely punished than personal sins. And then Jonah had to go right through the Mediterranean, for God does not pass by disobedience in silence. And then Samson had to lose his eyes, David the child, and Simon Peter his name, so that the glory of God would rise out of the dust. And just as the slave in Exodus 21 chose the side of his master, Jonah willingly chose God's side to serve him wherever he might send him. And Jonah had broken this agreement, for every office bearer, whether converted or not, has by virtue of his office an agreement with the great office bearer, Christ. And this is not without obligation office. Every office bearer is a legitimate office bearer, provided he has been called by God. And when God calls a person to hold an office, he becomes a servant of God, and a servant has greater responsibility than a child, for a child is free. And therefore the child became a servant, to take upon himself the responsibility for the fall of those he had redeemed with his blood. For a servant has authority over many of his master's subjects. And now it is of great importance that the servant also shares the portion of the child. For an ungenerated office bearer is a great obstacle to the congregation, yea, a curse for the church. That is what George Whitefield says. An unconverted office bearer is a curse for the church. And who? That preacher who established unconverted office bearer in the church. I cannot go into this now, but I could write a separate book of this, because there are so many unconverted office bearers in our days. They are more than flies in the air. But here it is about the sins committed by someone who holds an office, and in this case the prophet Jonah. He was disobedient and had gone his own way. And to be restored in God's favor again always requires the loss of one's own will, to will what God wills. And every office bearer has a covenant with Christ. And a covenant entails rights and duties. And when an office bearer neglects his duties, he forfeits his rights. And we see this with Samson. He lost his eyes and his power. But now the miracle for Jonah and for all the servants called by God. I believe, if we believe not, Yet he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that is the cause of Jonah's restoration, and also when Samson was restored in God's grace. And he got back his power. And somebody says, but God's children can fall low. Yes, they can. But God and his own work cannot change. And this faithfulness of God had become such a great and perpetual miracle for Jonah that he cried out, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And Jonah would do anything to serve the Lord. He wanted to sacrifice everything, even his life. Just like the slave in Exodus 21 wanted to serve his master willingly, so Jonah wanted to serve God, his God again. And to make it clear that this covenant between the slave and his master was sealed with blood in the Old Testament, and I shall quote Exodus 21 verses 2 and 6. Exodus 21, the verses 2 and 6 about the slave. It says, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. And if his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters. And he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And such a slave stayed willingly with that master, and that was sealed with blood. And this applies equally the life of grace, for the Lord makes his people and servants willing in his service. For it says, my heart is steadfast, O my God, and I will sing unto thy loud. Yes, I will make a melody and give my thanks, O Lord, to thee. And then the Lord remembers his covenant again, because he is the faithful one. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Verse 10. God spoke, and it was done. And he set all creation firm on its foundation. Yeah. Word and deed are the same with God. And God restored Jonah to his favor and re-established him in his office. Why? Because Christ's willingness had broken his heart once more. And when the Lord sees Christ's willingness in his people again, Jonah does not remain underwater a second longer. And then at God's command, he was at once spewed out by the fish as a willing instrument in God's hand. And then Jonah experienced that the testament, that is the inheritance of Christ, was confirmed to him again, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And may I ask you, beloved, have you become partakers of the inheritance of Christ already? Or do you still stick to a covenant with the devil and an agreement with hell? It's one or the other. And either we share in the privilege of the covenant of grace because of our interest in Christ, or we are still in the broken covenant of works because our unreconciled state with God. Now come on, beloved, if the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Joshua had made an heartfelt choice in his life because God has elected from him from eternity. So Joshua's choice was a choice which the Lord had worked for. A man does not choose for Jesus, and certainly not for the cross. For this cost all one's flesh. But yet his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now come on, beloved, put your heart to it. Is the Lord not worthy to be served and to be feared? His service is such a sweet service, and his commandments are not grievous. No. Please do not start to do your best, because the more Joshua says, "But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord," so will it be. Amen. Let us conclude this worship service by singing Psalm 3, the stanzas 2 and 3. Psalm 3, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Oh.
Let us pray. Lord, we always think that we can serve Thee, but what we need is to be served by Thee. And that we may have experience what Jonah cried out in the belly of the fish, yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. O Lord, that is what may taste the nearness and the dearness of Christ, because there is no one else besides Christ through which we can be saved and blessed. Bless Thy word into our hearts, so that we shall say farewell to the world, to deny ourselves, and to kill our carnal nature by Thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, that we may live according to Thy will in Christ, and that Thy honor may be exalted in our life. Be our refuge and our Redeemer for time and eternity, and we must belong to Christ, but there is no reason in us, only in Thee. And make us willing in Thy kingdom, and fulfill us with Thy Spirit. And be with all of us in the coming week. O Lord, keep us from sin and accidents. Lord, we pray Thee for Jesus' sake. Amen. Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.